pray with me. Father, we thank you that there's no other name under heaven whereby men and women can be saved but the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, there's coming a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. Oh Lord, we can't wait till that moment. But until then, we will not forget to praise your holy name now. And we do it and we say hallelujah in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The best for last. I began my ministry on the third day, about 4 miles from my home. It was a picturesque place. It's perched on the slope of a hill. Its name, Cana, means reed, probably because from the reeds which grew in the marshy plains below. Now, you might find where I started my ministry a strange place. It was at a crowded, noisy house. My mother was there, and my best friends were there. You may know them, the 12 disciples. In fact, the young people today would call them my posse. Of all the places to begin a ministry and to have my first public miracle, imagine having your ministry start in a very loud, happy, joyous place where there's laughters and there's smiles. That's right, it was at a wedding. And my mother runs up to me when I came into the place, excited for my arrival. But there's a problem. And since my mom is a relative of the host, she's concerned until she sees me. And she runs up and says, "We're out of wine." You see, at a wedding celebration, it could last for several days. And my reply seems rather harsh and strange. And I said this to my mother, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not come." Now, really, when I said woman, that was a term of endearment. In fact, if you would go forward, you'll find that I used that same expression even at the cross. But you know, sometimes you have to remind even your relatives and even your mother what you're all about and what your mission is about. You see, I came to this earth that I might save my people from their sins. And you'll find that in Matthew 1 and verse 21. You see, I have a much larger agenda. It has to do with saving. But you know something? That didn't deter Mom. You know how mothers are. You know, it matters not how old you are. You could be in your 60s like me. You know, to your mother, you're still their child. And so Mary didn't care that Jesus says, "Woman, my hour is not yet come." Mary says, "Listen here, servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it." That's how mothers are. And so there were six big water pots at the door, empty. And Jesus says to the servants, "Fill them up with water." They held about 30 gallons each. "Fill them up, and then I'd like for you to pour out the contents. But first, make sure that you pour a cup in the cup of our host. You see, it's possible that the host didn't even know that they had run out of wine. And so they poured a cup to the host. And when he tasted it, he found it to be better than the first wine. In fact, it was the best he had ever tasted. And so the host looks over at the groom and says, "You know something? You know what they usually do? They usually put the good stuff out first. You know, like they do at potluck? It's bad luck if you're at the end of the line at potluck. Because the people in the front are going to pile up their plate, and you may get very little at the end." Oh, y'all don't have to look down. I've had it happen. But not in this case. The best was saved for last. There must be a message in there for us somewhere. Let me share with you what I think the message is for the next few minutes. Jesus starts his ministry, his first miracles, at a wedding. Now, we've been talking about the institution of marriage. We first started off talking about a wedding in our sermons previous. I believe that Jesus instituted his ministry and his miracle at a wedding because he is interested more than even that. He honors the institution of marriage. I believe that Jesus is interested in people's everyday life. He's interested in where we work. He's interested in our homes. He's interested in our babies. And he's interested in our weddings. Jesus found joy in the innocent happiness of a marriage. Why that's important is because the leaders of his day were just the opposite. They couldn't find any joy in almost anything. They centered their lives around being very formal. And they lived their lives trying not to defile or touch something, or everything was unholy to them. But not Jesus. He loved to be where people were. He loved to be in touch with people. Believe it or not, that's Jesus. Amen. And also, there is a message in the miracle. I spent a good deal of time looking at the miracle, and it's different from all his other miracles. Because in this case, you don't notice any waving of the hand, no magic word, no touching anything, no sprinkling the pots with something, no dust. Jesus told them to pour the water. And sometime between the pouring of the water and the hitting the cup, it turned to wine. Isn't that something? I've never seen a miracle like that. He just thought it in the cup. He just thought it, and it happened. Pour the water. Just do what Jesus asked you to do, and he'll take care of it. Just do what God tells you to do. Let him take care of the miracle. And then I believe there's something, I've used the term, you've heard the term, Jesus joy. But really, this is it. This is it right here. In the wedding of Cana, this is Jesus' joy. Jesus has joy at a wedding. Because I believe that it symbolizes the joy that he would one day bring to his bride, the church, or the saved. And then, finally, I believe the message is in the title, The Best for Last. Whatever you have on this earth now, it cannot be compared to what God has in store for you. The best is yet to come. And he speaks to that in John 14, the very familiar passage to you. You don't have to turn there. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions or resting places, because I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will do what, everybody? I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The best is yet to come. Oh, how good God is. And so I can't wait for that day. This is personal. When I will have a reunion with my dear mother and my father. And I'll be reunited with my sister. And many of you will be reunited with your loved ones. The best for last. I don't believe it was an accident that Jesus began his ministry at a wedding where people were enjoying the company and the fellowship of one another. And it's no accident that he ends his ministry around a table with his disciples, with his friends, saying, "You do show the Lord's death till he comes." I'd like to leave you a text. The last time that I preached, I left you a text, Ephesians 4:26. Anybody tell me what that text is? You shouldn't have left without getting that text. Ephesians 4:26. Not to go to sleep angry. Remember that text? Ephesians 4:26. We talked about that in regards to marriage. I'll give you another text that relates to the sermon title today, and I want you to turn there. Most of you, if you don't have it mark this one. All of you know it. I would venture to say there will be no one here that does not know this text, but I ask you to mark it. It's 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. When you have it, say amen. Okay, a few of you have it. The best is for last. And I'll start reading while you're turning to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. Oh, what a text. You have no idea what God has in store for you. And it's good. And all is very good. I don't know what you're going through. It's a good chance if you're on planet Earth, you're probably going through something. But I don't want you to get discouraged. What you have to look forward to with God, you cannot even imagine. Oh, that ought to encourage somebody today. You ought to be, I know this sounds like pie in the sky, and I wish I had time to preach heaven, but I don't. But that's the good God that we serve. He saves the very best for last. If you don't believe that happens in a very real sense, I challenge you to read the book of Job. And watch what happened to him at the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. A wedding yes, where people are, where needs are. We thank you, Lord, that you are among the people providing blessings. We thank you, Lord, that the greater reason that you were here on earth sometimes is missed, but we don't miss it. You are here to save us. And that salvation has been made available to every one of us. And the only thing we have to do is claim it. We thank you, Lord, for when we claim it, we claim you. And heaven itself. And so thank you, Lord, for providing what we really need. And that is you. Lord, as we come together as the people of God and wash one another's feet according to John 13, may we feel your cleansing power as we wash one another's feet. May all of the accumulated sins of this past quarter be washed away. And may we feel your Holy Spirit's presence in our hearts. And then, Lord, we're going to come back to the table joyous. Just like it would be if we were at a wedding. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.